Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord. Amen. A sermon text is taken from Gospel letter or Epistle letter of 1 John chapter 3, and I will read from verse 4 through 10. Would you please arise for the reading of the Scripture? Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. One of my good friends years back was A.B. Anderson, Pastor A.B. Anderson, who served in Esco Church and then also was a radio evangelist from Duluth. He came and he taught us a seminary class or two, and in process, being an old man over 80, he more or less asking about his age and abilities and how he looks into the future. But one of the comments that sticks to my rib is that he said, at my age, you don't buy green bananas. That's a revealing statement. When we are young, we may buy green bananas because we take for granted that we have time for them to ripen. But is it really so? There's a passage that I would like us to consider before I turn back to 1 John. That comes from Paul's letter or events in Athens. Actually, Dr. Luke wrote this down, but this is concerning Apostle Paul. And I take this because a great event that just took place in New York and world leaders were there for United Nations meeting, and then afterwards the meeting in Pittsburgh maybe still going on. But even so, that in midst of this wrangling, I try to bring peace, and they're like a gloom arising from the horizon, and the Lord would say, do you know what time of the day it is? Can you read the times? The politicians will tell us this thing or that thing is over and the future again looks brighter. But we are dealing with human heart. We are dealing with powers of darkness. And into this world has God's message come. And it is an urgent message. The testimony of this urgency is when Christ was crucified, that it had a purpose. An aftermath, and then comes the judgment. The world needs to hear God's message. So Apostle Paul, in chapter 17 of Acts, says concerning nations, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art of man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given him assurance, has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And a result of this speech brought forth mockery and ridicule. So it is to this day, when the word of God is spoken to hardened hearts, that it is taken as a folklore or something that is your opinion. We well know the Lord's statement, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Another statement of Pastor Brother A.B. Anderson was that when you live long, you grow old. And Apostle John, at the writing of this letter, is at least 85 years of age. May I ask you, my listening Christian friend, how much credit do you give to a man that is 85? He's over the hill. And speaking of Christian thoughts and things of death and following Jesus, in Finnish it would be sehoura. That means he's hallucinating. He's not with it. We are with it. We know what we are doing. I talked to a young man attending a wedding yesterday, an evening meal, and across us was a young lad, a Sunday school student of Ritva's, and I remembered his name, which I felt so good. But anyway, and I may say his first name is Cody. Good runner. Graduate from university, no job. And somehow, what was yesterday is being outchecked today. That our steps are not ordered by people that have power. Our steps are ordered from above. God interferes with our plans, and he teaches us lessons which forces us to listen. But even under these things, there are hearts that will not listen. People prefer God that they can move around from self to self, make him nice or make him rather crude. But long as I am in command, I can confess that I believe in God. At this point, I ask that, can I remove my coat? I'm nursing a little bit of cold, so I feel more comfortable. Thank you. Your silence was approval. John was an old man. Listen, it was a long time before that he met a man that spake repentance to people. And people considered him to be a prophet. People confessing their sins were also baptized. But John the Baptist was pointing to a greater than he was, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There Jesus was as he was walking by, and as John is pointing to him, the Lamb of God. One of them is John and his brother Andrew. And they asked Jesus, Master, where are you going? Or Rabbi, teacher, where are you going? And short answer of Jesus was, come and see. They went with Jesus. And then on they heard words that puzzled them. They had their own dreams how the world will turn out. But they all were waiting Messiah. It was in a Jewish heart, expectation of their Messiah. And there seemingly is a man from humble beginning, but who has power and authority. Interesting thing about Jesus is that he eats with sinners. And when you eat with sinners, that means I have fellowship with you. Though the difference is like night and day, one is great, without blemish, without any darkness. And yet, who came to serve? And then once beneath, always questioning, and always taking these little child steps here and there, because the world is so wonderful, and there are new things to discover. One thing entices, and after a while we get tired, we get another one. But God forbid that this also enters into church life. For there are many who are getting tired of the word, who no longer are seekers of the truth. But like little children are tossed to and fro with various opinions and doctrines, without an ability to discern or to weigh the matter. Beloved, be not deceived, for many antichrists have come into the world. Otherwise, the church, the body as we see it in physical form, has elements in it that are destructive. And we cannot bring it together unless we meet at the cross. Where like the waves of the broad sea are squelched by the land, thus far no more. That earth becomes quiet and people begin to listen. God has something to say. Apostle John, like other apostles, had taken the high road. They had their dreams how they will rule the world with their Messiah. But they were not without sin. And it is this struggle within that wants to get preeminence, the power, and the spirit is subdued. I listened to you other day, when it is convenient, and perhaps when I am in a mood. One of the problems in Church of Ephesus, I have not read the statement, but I take for granted in a way that it is true, having heard it several times. When Apostle John was taken as an old man to church, and people were seeking his guidance, his exhortation, his wisdom, say something. And this man of age would say, children, love one another. Think about that word. Love one another. If I love another, I don't want to do harm to that person, do I? But I find it within myself that sometime being agitated, the words will come out that are very hurtful. And sometimes they are hard to overcome because the one I love said those words against me, accusing like a devil who accuses the brethren, instead of words that bring peace, uplifting, supporting, the words that hurt. Apostle John understood these things. And to me, it is marvelous when he writes, like his gospel, he speaks of himself as a third person. Otherwise, at the cross, these dreams of loftiness were taken down. Holy Spirit brought understanding to his mind about the new way, which is different, and why our Master has come. So he writes wonderful, wonderful words. Gnosticism, the word itself, kinosko, means knowledge. There were people within church that were bringing extra, what we may say, territorial things into the fellowship of Christians. We have a better understanding or knowledge what we can do and are allowed to do. Martin Luther in his days, I'm a little shy to mention his name because it's not long ago that I talked with the doctor, and he was quite upset and had gone from a Lutheran church to other church. But he says that he left because the church where he was, they spake more of Martin Luther than the scripture or Jesus. So it left a little mark in my heart that when I use Martin Luther in this context, that I am by no means, I don't want to elevate him. Neither would he want himself to be elevated. But he understood of these things. In the beginning of John's letter, it is, at least to me, very interesting where he starts. It's like his gospel account. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Returning back to Martin Luther, it apparently was a mainstay in his life that you cannot go above the scriptures. Personal revelations and ecstasies are not the standard by which the life is tested. And when we are running after these things, we are an open prey to one who is a deceiver, who is capable of performing miracles and give feelings of belonging. Christian life and our feelings have to be tied to the cross and to the message of God. And from that then comes also unity, the fellowship of Christian people. Not above that which is written. And sometimes it takes a long time for some of us, me included, to learn the word of God never changes. Never. It was given to these apostles to think about their life, that they could see a visible form, tangible evidence of one who says, I am. They could handle him, they could listen to him. Apostle John even lied against his breast at the Last Supper. But does that make then Apostle John, that in the reality of Christian church, that he's way up there in the sainthood? Or does it mean how far reaching God's love is to seek a sinner and to make him a follower and to change his life? We know from our text today that whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Bible translations at times do not do justice that we would fully understand what is really taking place. Because if we say we have no sin, we lie. There's a Bible passage, I wrote it someplace. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. Is there anyone amongst us that has come to a life as a Christian where you don't have to say Lord's Prayer anymore? And a part that says, forgive us our trespasses. Have you come to a place in life where you never have evil thoughts, where you don't have a pride of life. Ah, I remember a lady, we had a seminar down south concerning financial university. Otherwise, you keep your finances in check. Don't spend more than you earn. But this lady, and when it was overall, there were about 20 couples, we took a survey how much was owned amongst 20 couples. It was over $1 million. Some were way up in credit debt. After a month, when a seminar took place, or 2 months, there was a person or couple that declared, "We are now debt free." And of that, $100,000, what they owed, had been paid. So class debt was $100,000 less end of the class than it was in the beginning. But what I'm saying here, or driving out, there was a lady who says that, "I can smell the leather in a new car." That's one of the things. And a market will give that smell to you that are vulnerable because you are prey. You go to a restaurant. "Have you tried our new delicious apple pie?" So you set in your mind, "I want to try it," even when you cannot afford it. It's quite a thing when we say we have no sin. That is, that God does not impute our sins against us, but to say we have no sin is that we take a step from reality and don't look at the warfare we have within ourselves. Pride of life comes in many, many forms. Apostle John, writing to his children, is saying actually that no Christian who is born of God lives habitually in sin. Otherwise, he does not serve sin. He serves one of whom it is said, "You've been purchased with price. Therefore, glorify Christ in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's." Now your body and the spirit he has given you, they are Lord's. How do I glorify Christ? That I live as if there's no God. I should eat that others may eat also. I should labor, if I can, with my own hands to bear my own burden, but being free by Christ, have something to spare to help those whose burden I can uplift also, to help them on a journey. Special visions and knowledge puffs up. It removes us from humanity. Yesterday, I lost all my notes here in a way. Now forgive me for that. I'm going to keep it to a point. But also at the dinner last night, I talked with a Christian friend who mentioned that he has encountered a man who had served his time in jail. because of the drunken automobile accident where father and young son were killed. And I know that well because I conducted the burial in South Range Church. But this Christian man encountered the one who was the cause of the accident. He mentioned, yes, he was caught. But how many others were driving in drunken condition and were not caught? I met him. We talk about fishing. He is now out of jail and full of cancer. And my Christian friend said, I told him, I pray for you. Where would we be if the love of God had not appeared to us? When we speak of grace and faith, can you say that any one of those two initiates from you? It is love of God that appeared. When we speak of repentance, we speak also, he who hides his sins will not prosper, but he who confesseth them and forsaketh them will have mercy. We sometimes take these things out of context because there is no forgiveness without shedding of blood. There is no forgiveness unless God intercede in our behalf and paid the sin of the world. And it is this love that comes to us, seeking us, speaking to us, not to people that are elite per se, not making them they are less human beings, but like in Jerusalem, but starting where rubber meets the road, where sinners know they are sinners, and confronting the proud with the imaginations of their own heart. May I ask you, is it because you repent that you're forgiven? Listen, my friend. In a true sense of the word, I repent when I behold his glory. And this that I cannot explain, that God in Christ loves us sinners, and that he wants all people to be saved, all people to come to repentance and accept his paramount message, that God is love. That he has not come here to do hurt like a devil. He does not leave the fine print out or in with the small letters that we cannot read. But everything is open in a language that we can read. He came for me. He came for you. And so far, pray for those that persecute you and take advantage of you. Bless, do not curse. Oh, my friend, it doesn't take much for us to get huffed up, to close the door like a young lad. Bang! And then comes the school of hard knocks. And some return, but not all, because pride of life. Takes us to that highway upon which many are traveling. But Jesus talks. Can you see the ways thereof are the ways of death? Come this way. Follow me. For I know the way. And it will save your souls. I have to quit. When you preach only now and then, you're just way too full. Way too full. I don't have the control of my life to a point that I would be so systematic. I get lost. But let no one question. Jesus is precious. How can it be possible that you preach without tears? And what I long for, as some that are young and old will meet me with same tears. Like young Timothy, when Apostle Paul says, I remember your tears. In closing, let me read this. This is by Oswald Sanders, and I'm going to call it quits. But the Lord continues in your heart. I ask of God that he should give a success to the high task that I sought for him to do. I ask that every hindrance might grow less, and that my hours of weakness might be few. I ask that far and lofty heights be scaled. And now I humbly thank him that I failed. For with the pain and sorrow came to me a downer or dower of tenderness in act and thought. And with the failure came a sympathy, an insight which success had never brought. Father, I had been foolish and unblessed. If thou hast granted me my blind request. You know from the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve at the beginning were naked. Pastor Jay, speaking to us last Monday evening, touched upon these things, and you can read from your own Bible. But in my childish thoughts, I also thought, isn't it interesting? You take a child, and they are naked as a bird. But they are not ashamed. Take my heart, and I am ashamed. Lord, help me. But Lord draws, brings it light, and in his light, I am not ashamed. Because he washes me. I am not ashamed to say I'm a sinner and I need him every day. And more so as I grow old. Because sign of the Holy Spirit to me and hopefully to you also is I know more what's in my heart. And because of forgiveness in Jesus' name and blood, I rise to a new day where I don't want to serve that which brings shame. For everything is open and naked before his eyes, with whom we have to do or to whom we must give account. Christian friend, endeavor to walk with good conscience, for in it is your life, and it is only the word of God, the blood of Jesus, that cleanses us from sin. Seek the truth, and the truth will not bring you into bondage, but it will set you free. This you find amongst Christian friends. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, even this morning hour that we have spent together, plus we are taken to be followers of Jesus, where time and occasions in life serve the one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord Jesus, you had time for great sinners, but you also have time for those that thought they were good. Before your truth, all things become naked, and only those that call upon your name will be saved. Grant us that we may be these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus loves you.